today? Good. I just want to just thank Brother Kevin for affording me an opportunity to share with you today. And it's always a blessing. It's always a, an honor to address the children of God. You know, and it's just, I can't even describe what it's like. That, you know, you get the opportunity to talk to your brothers and sisters, and they'll give ear to you. A little bit difficult when I was growing up in a household that it wasn't quite like that. But I thank God for this opportunity. And I want to just, won't take all of your time, but I want to take a few moments of your time to share a few thoughts with you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse verse 1 through 7, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. We can focus on chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, actually, but we'll read the whole portion there for you as we start here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this wonderful day you've given us, O Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. We thank you, O God, for the opportunity, O Lord, to look into your word, and we pray that as we look into your word, O God, Lord, it might be written on the tablets of our hearts, O God, that, Lord, we might have a guide, O Lord, that your spirit might bring something to remembrance to us in the days to come. We thank you, O Lord, for your great love that you have for us, O Lord, that you sacrificed your son, O God, to send him to this world that we might have hope. Now, Lord, open our eyes and our ears to receive, and give us a willing heart to obey. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writing to the saints at Corinth. Corinth was a city in the province of Achaia in the Greek Empire. Bear in mind that time, the Roman Empire, bear in mind that at that time there was just one big universal state. And you had different areas, provinces that were there. And Corinth was in the province of Achaia here, we see here. And Paul's writing to them. This is his second epistle to them. Some scholars believe a third one. But this is at least his second epistle to them. And he's writing to them to address some issues that they're dealing with and sharing from his own experience to help them. And this is very, very key to what he's writing in this letter. Start with me, if you would, at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints in the whole Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our afflictions, this version says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. For if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in our comfort. You notice in that verse, those verses there, the continual thought of comfort being brought out, and we're going to look at some of these words in here, and I'm going to share these words to you just not so that you'll just know what I know, but I want you to have the same understanding that I have when I read it. And I really want to communicate some thoughts to you in that. We use for a message today, our title is, May I Help You? May I Help You? And I want you to remember that, May I Help You? It's going to be a twofold meaning to that, and then we'll get to that in a moment. In our text here, he starts off by saying, Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on that word blessed. That'll be our first little word study. We're going to do about four word studies. I'm not going to labor on them, but I just want to give you an understanding of these words, because sometimes in our understanding it's different from how they understood it. And we assume that we understand what they mean, but sometimes we miss it and things are lost in the translation. This word blessed here, this is not the same word blessed used in the Beatitudes where he said blessed are the poor in heart and all of those and those like things like that. That word is the Greek word makarios, which means it deals with your situation, where you at. This word blessed, eulogetos, has to do with reputation. So one has to do with situation, the other one, reputation. Makarios has to do with our situation. You're in a good situation if this is true. If you're the poor in heart, then you're in a good situation, a good circumstance, a good place. If you're, he says, you know, those weeping, you're in a good place. You know, it seems like the opposite of what we would think. We read the Beatitudes, and you say, how can I be blessed? And those things happening to me when people persecute me and say all bad manners of bad things against me. But that's a good place for a believer. But this word has to do with reputation. This word is used 8 times in New Testament, eulogitos. And it's only used for the Father. It's only used for the Father. Blessed. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Christ, the Son of the eulogitos? Only God is called the eulogitos. I find it very fascinating when I did a word study on that thing. In the word eulogitos, we get the English word eulogy from that word, eulogy. And the U in that part has to do with good or well, and the logos is word or speaking. It means something that's well spoken of, and that's who God is. Whether people do it or not, God is well spoken. He's established himself to be a person of reputation. How many of you can wave your hand to that one? He's the only eulogitos. Not going to take time to break it down, but I'm going to give you 8 times where it's listed there, and you can go back and read these verses. I think it's very important for at the very beginning we say this. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. Are you the Christ, Son of the Blessed? That's Mark chapter 14, 61. Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and 69. Blessed is the God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people and raised up for a horn of salvation for them in the house of his servant David. Blessed, he says. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Because of which God gave them over to uncleanness and desired their hearts to dissolve their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God for the lie, who worshiped and did service for the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed into the ages. Some of your verses say forever. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. Of whom is the Father, out of whom the things according to flesh is the Christ, the one over all. God be blessed into the ages. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, we just read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one blessed into the ages, has seen that I'm not lying, Paul says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And then finally here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, who has birthed us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unto dead ones, unto a perishable and undefiled and faithless inheritance, reserved in heaven for you, those ready, being kept by God's power through faith until salvation, ready to be revealed in final seasons. Those are just 8 places where it's used. But I wanted to bring that word out that when I say, may I help you, we're talking about the blessed one is asking the question. God is the blessed one. God's the one that's well spoken of. And it is imperative that we as believers, as his children, make that known. It's imperative that we, in our day-to-day life, refer to him, not necessarily in the same words, but as the blessed one. We speak well of him. You understand what I'm saying? It's an awful thing that believers speak bad of God. I've heard believers say bad things about God, and they say, you know, well, he's God, but man, you know, I don't understand him. I wouldn't do it that way. That sounds crazy. And sometimes we don't say it that way, but sometimes when we disparage God's word, what God has said, and we diminish his wisdom or raise our wisdom above him, we're saying that, yeah, that's true, but. You've said something like that? Christian said, that's true, but. But we're talking about perfect wisdom, divine wisdom, perfect love. The eulogitos is God. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a title that Paul is fond of, and also the apostles. This is used at least 3 times where it says that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we forget that God is the God of Christ. You know, Jesus made that known. Jesus says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And in that, he's enunciating what we feel sometimes when we don't feel the closeness of God, or God doesn't intervene when difficult things happen in our life. And Jesus says that. Afterwards, when he was raised from the dead, he says, go, I'm going to my Father. I send to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Even after the ascension, when he was now revealed himself to John in the Revelation, he says to him, he says that he'd overcome, they will, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Jesus always had that high respect for the Father, which is interesting because we all know, we can all agree this, that the scriptures, the whole of scriptures, it always points us to Jesus. Am I right? It points us to Jesus. But listen, this is also equally true, that Jesus always points us to the Father. Don't forget that. Jesus always points us back to the Father. My Father, he says. And in our thinking, and sometimes, you know, in our Trinitarian thinking of the way you, in that, we can sometimes minimize the role that God has in salvation. The whole thing that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's an arm, an instrument, a person, his very own son, his very flesh. He put him, a part of himself in Christ, and he's bringing everybody back to himself. And he's saying the blessed one is that one. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of what? All, or the Father of comfort? Or he says, actually, this version here, I'm going to make sure I get the same, I got a different Bible here. This one says the Father of mercy, or the Greek says the Father of compassions, and it's plural, because God has all kinds of compassion. There's no such thing as a single type of compassion. The compassion that you have for your son is different from compassion you might have to a guy who has a gun on you. You know what I'm saying? And you can have compassion for both of them. But whatever type of compassion exists in the world, God is the Father of that. It all flows from him. I used to say this in terms of love. People who hate God don't understand love, because God is love. There's no love that exists that's not from God. And if you can't accept God, truly, you can accept love. Oh, well, no, I love. My love is different from that type of love. No, it's not. There's only one love. That's God's love. There's only one compassionate warning. That's God. And he's the Father of all of that. So whatever you need in terms of compassion, God has it. And the God of all, what's the word? Comfort, some version says. Some of yours may say encouragement. Some of yours may say counsel. Some of yours say different words there. And the reason is this is a very difficult word in Greek. There are some words that it's hard to translate. Of all the words that I have studied, this is one of the most difficult ones. And the reason is because of this. I'll show you why it's difficult. For Kevin. Kevin. What did I just do? No, I called him up here. And that's what that word means. Paraklesis. Paraklesis. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-S-I-S. Paraklesis. And the reason is because paraklesis, it doesn't tell you the purpose. It only speaks about the action itself. It's an action word. It means to call near or call aside. The God of all near calling. But it doesn't tell you why. So when the translator has to translate, you say, "What? Why did he call him? Did he call him for to comfort him?" We'll use comfort. Maybe to help. Perhaps to console. You see how difficult it is? All these different words, the translator tried to bring this out, this thought out, but all he's actually saying, he's the God of all near calling. Blessed be the God of our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all, the Father of mercies, or the Father of compassion, and the God of all near calling. How many of you find yourself stressed sometimes, under pressure, dealing with difficult circumstances, maybe financial, maybe relational, maybe circumstantial, work, whatever it is, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of near calling, calls us aside. You know, I always thought that, you know, when the song says, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved, right? I used to like that song. And I always thought of myself calling God. I never thought about God was the one calling me. But he's the God of all near calling. You see the guy in the boxing ring, they're fighting, and if the bell rings, he goes there, and the guy in the corner talks to him and you know, says, you know, you drop your arm, you know, you pick up on it, you see how you're doing this, you do this and do that. That's what God's doing for you. He's watching every step of your life, everything going on in your life, and he's there to near call you. He's coming, let me talk to you. He's saying, may I help you? Not can I help you? Of course, he's able to help. Can refers to ability, but permission, but may I help you? May I help you? And sometimes we don't realize that when things are going bad in our life, the near caller is there. He's there. And he might be there to comfort. It might be to console. It might be to correct you. It might be to teach you something. It might direct you to go this way or that way. It may tell you just be quiet, be still, and know that I'm God. But he's always there to near call you, to call you to side. That's the same word used for the Holy Spirit, parakletos. And it means a near caller, one that calls alongside. We think about, we call in the Spirit, but no, he's calling you. People have testified to the fact that sometimes it felt like that. I felt the Lord calling me to the side. He wanted to, and I had to get away by myself. If you haven't experienced that, just wait when something happens. It'll happen soon. Pressure comes every day. Decisions, life just interrupted. Someone is going to upset your apple cart. Am I right? You have your whole life planned out how you want to do it. Then something happens. Okay, now we got a baby coming up. Or this happened, accident. It's always something happening. But you always remember there's a near caller. And he's calling you. May I help you? Jesus put it this way. I stand at the door and what? I knock. If anyone hear and open, I'll come in. Sometimes he has to rush in and get you. Sometimes we don't know that we need help. But he near calls us. He near calls us through his word. Amen. Sometimes through people. Paul says that God near called them through Titus who came to us. And through Titus, he was refreshed at Titus's coming. Sometimes another brother or sister, he refreshes you through their coming to you. Because he's that God. He's watching out for you. Because if you don't look good, he doesn't look good. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassions and the God of all comfort, who comfort us or who near calls us in some of our afflictions. All. In all, no matter what's going on, God is always there to near call you in all of your afflictions. Word study. Affliction. The Greek word, thlipsis, T-H. L-I-P-S-I-S, thlipsis. Thlipsis literally means this, pressure. That's all it means, pressure. You feel the pressure of life sometimes? The stress, it means to press hard. And whenever you're under pressure, the near call is near. And that's all the time. I think Kevin said one week, he said, either you're in the midst of something, or you're coming out of something, you're in the midst of something, or you're about to go into something. Always something pressing, isn't it? But the near call is near. Look at somebody and say, the near call is near. When the pressure comes, who presses us? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God of all comfort, the God of all near calling, who near calls us in all of our pressing. And I pray that whenever you're under pressure, I really hope that the reason you're under pressure is because you're living right. He said, if you suffer, let it be for right. I'm just stressed. I'm just under pressure, man. Just it's hard being a Christian, you know, because you made bad decisions. You got yourself in debt. You had no business chasing out that woman. You didn't need that guy. You went into all for all the wrong reasons. You knew what you was doing wrong. Amen. Now he's still compassionate. Amen. He's whatever. That amazes me that no matter how bad I do sometimes, God is still compassionate. The song says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never, have you heard the song? But come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Now, I know that song. Great is thy faithfulness. Not by memory, but by experience. No matter how bad I've done things, it's true. He's merciful. He's kind. He's long-suffering. And I thank God for that. Because sometimes it was because I did everything right. But sometimes I did wrong. And I would say, Brother Kevin, knowingly wrong, you know. But God wants you to do what's right. If you're going to suffer, you're going to suffer no matter what you do in this world, no matter how good you live, no matter what, you're going to suffer. Let it be for righteousness' sake. Let the pressure be upon you because you're trying to do what's right. You're living for the Lord. You want to display the glories and the majesty of Jesus Christ. Let that be the reason behind it. And he'll near call you for that reason. And there's a sense, there's a look of pride in his eye that you're still standing. Amen? You know, sometimes God near calls, we're like Adam with the leaves, you know. Because he knew he did wrong. God of all near calling, who near calls us in all our pressure. And here's the deal that I want to really impress upon you. So that we may be able to near call those who are in any pressure, on any pressure, through the near call in which we ourselves have been near called by God. It sounds different when you say near calling, doesn't it? It just kind of throws everything off, but you know what I mean now, what I mean by that. I mean that the reason God calls you is to enable you to help others. God's help is generational. But Kevin says, well, if they don't say nothing, they're just saying, that's good, that's good. God's help is generational. And what God is doing is that he's allowing you to go through difficult times so that to equip you to help those who come after you or around you through their difficult times. Because sometimes God uses you to be the near caller for him. You understand what I'm saying? So when things are going on your life and things are crazy, things are happening, it may not be because of you only, but because of somebody else that God wants you to help. And I'm the guinea pig. But you're the person that he chose because he said this is the person that they'll listen to. So I'm going to have to allow you to go through this so you can help that one. God wants to transform this whole room into a room full of near callers.
Yeah, right.
You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. That every one of you that now I've learned, okay, I know how to deal with this one. Now when somebody comes to me and they have this same problem, I know what God told me.
Right.
I know what God showed me. I know how God helped me. Now I need to pass that on to them.
Yeah.
And now you're becoming more and more like your father who can handle whatever comes your way. You don't fall apart. How many you under high when you was young and you Christian, you fell apart over the smallest thing, and some people still do. But as you go along, your life shouldn't be like this. It should start slowly. Huh? The highs are not as high, the lows not as low. It's just even tone. But it's that even tone is rising all the way. You follow what I'm saying? But some people live from high to high. You know, we were like bipolar Christians. Am I right? You know what I'm saying? Just bipolar. You know, I'm just like, well, God is good. And, oh, my goodness. I can't stand it if he could do anything better. Next thing you know, where is God? Where is God? You ever see people like that on Facebook? They'll post something about God, how great he is, and then 15 minutes later, these so-and-so, beep, beep, beep. I mean, the next, something in 5 minutes, they wait 5 minutes, someone's going to set them off. And I go back, and they just read this beautiful praise, and I just put like on there, and they're like, ooh. We need to be careful. Someone wrote a song. We need to keep your business off of Facebook. Where was I? We're in verse 4. Who comfort us in all our afflictions to enable us, to enable you to comfort others. He wants to make you like himself. He wants you to grow up unto the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, his son. He's the firstborn. He's the prototype. I want you to be just like him. When it comes to the judgment, he's going to line us all up. Now, I don't know how it's going to be, but he's going to stand us all up next to Christ. How close you are to Christ. Not how much you did. Not how much you gave. All those things are important, but all those things is to enable you and to transform you to be more and more like his son. Because if you're like his son, you're like him. And Jesus was a helper. Jesus was a near caller. He was the one who looked out for different ones, and he called them to the side. The guy was following him, and his daughter had died. He was very sad. He was hoping that Jesus would get to him. Someone was working through the crowd, a lady who was bleeding for 12 years and trying to get to him, and she's struggling. She finally gets him and grabs him, and he's like, come on. She's almost there. He's almost there. Then someone comes and says, you know, don't trouble him. She died. Your daughter died. But the near caller says, he turns, he stops. Don't doubt, only believe. Don't doubt. Don't be divided. Only believe. Always looking out for others. On the cross, nailed to the cross, suffering, in great pain. Looks around, sees his mother. She's going to be by herself. Joseph's not long in the picture. No telling where the boys and the girls are. The children look to John. Son, behold, your mother. To her, your son. Behold, your son. Looking out for mom, the near caller. He was looking to enable us to be what he is. He stooped to our level to bring you up to his. And if you keep following God, that's what you're going to be. When I get up here, Brother Kevin get up here, we're standing in his stead to near call you to share with you the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the encouragement of God, the instruction of God, so that you in turn might become the same thing. Doesn't mean all you'll get up here on the pulpit. That'd be great. You have a great rotation then, Brother Kevin. But out there in where it's needed. In your workplace, somebody needs to hear from God. Amen. That's right. Come on now. In your school, somebody needs to hear. At the grocery store, you see someone with tears in their eyes. Someone needs that. To hear something from God. They need a word. They just want to comfort them, to encourage them, tell them to go just one more step. Keep believing. Don't lose hope. He finishes up by saying this. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in the comfort too, the near calling. Word study again, suffering. Pathema, P-A-T-H-E-M-A, pathema. We get the word pathos. Passion comes from this word. And it has to do with suffering. But with the ma on the end, the mu alpha on the end of it, the M-A on the end of it, it has to do with the result of it, the effects. Because you go through things, you suffer things, but that passes. When I was young, my dad would whip me, and boy, I'd be burning and hot and all upset and all that, but that's going to pass. But passing has to do with the effects that it has on you. When you go through suffering, it has an effect. Amen? And God, he comes to you to deal with the effects of the suffering. Because sometimes the effect can, instead of making you a better person, can make you a bitter person. Instead of making you believe in God all the more, you start believing in God all the less. You see. And that's when God comes to us. Adam had been told by the devil that, don't you know that God don't want you to eat of that tree? I'm paraphrasing it. Because he knows that the moment you do, you're going to be like God. And Adam's thinking, is God hiding something from me? He didn't tell me that. You mean that we got this arrangement going on, he's the big cheese and I'm here, and actually we're equals or can be equals? And that's when God comes in, doesn't he? Adam, where are you at? You see. When the enemy's working in your mind, when life and circumstances make it seem like that God is not concerned about you or has forgotten about you or the enemy has the higher hand over you, God is there to come alongside to help you through that. These are the things that Jesus suffered. Jesus is there. He's the top of all that he is. Amen? Fully God, fully human. And here yet, the ones that he was instrumental in bringing about their creation was hurling blasphemy upon him, slapping him, thrusting thorns on his head, saying all kinds of things. And he's like, God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Greek says, my God, unto what have you left me down here for? What's going on? Knowing it's going to happen is one thing to know it, but another thing to experience it. But God steps in, sends an angel to comfort him and strengthen him that he may finish up. We're like that sometimes. And because of that, we partake in the sufferings of Christ. Whatever they did for him, they're going to do for you. If he suffered, you being a part of his body, you're going to suffer. And all of us are going to go through that, and all of us are going to experience the effects of that suffering. And that's when he comforts us. That's when he comes alongside and near calls us. But he says, Paul says, but if we are afflicted, if we have pressure, we are under pressure for being Christians, for doing what's right, it is for your near calling and your salvation. Whatever happens to me is for them. If you're a parent, the things that you're going through, that's to help you with your children. Your generation is to help that generation. A leader, a lot of things that Brother Kevin goes through is for the ones who he's addressing. The older ones, for the younger ones. And that's what God does for us. He puts us through it so we can help others. Daniel says in the last days, he says, and those who understand will teach many. When you see the difficult things happening in our life, and if you're looking around, things are changing. The pressure is increasing. Can you feel it? We don't really necessarily think that it's going to get really bad, but I think it's going to get really bad here in America. We read about overseas what happens over there and how they oppress them and they won't let them meet. They imprison. We don't think that'll happen here, but it's happening. Slowly but surely, it's creeping up. The rights of believers are being constricted. What's considered once right is no longer right. And as that pressure begins to apply, that you got to conform to this new way of thinking, you're going to feel that pressure. That's the pressure, he said. And it's going to have an effect on you. Because it seems that at the time, it will seem at the time that God is not doing anything. He's allowing it. Jesus said, put it this way, this is the hour of darkness right here. I mean, there's nothing we can do. This is going to happen. Jesus is going to go out. He's going to betray us. They're going to come in. They're going to crucify me. They're going to do it. No, this is not going to happen to you, Master. Peter said, this is not going to happen. He's going to get behind me and say, that's a lie. It's going to happen. No bad thing's going to happen to me. Don't believe that. But thank God we know the Blessed One. Amen. We know the one who's well spoken of. The one that we can go to in all of our pressure, all our difficulties, and he has something for us. He finishes up by saying this, if we afflict it for your comfort, if we're confident, it's for your comfort and for your experience. Whatever happened to us, good or bad, is for the benefit of those who we will minister to. And because of that, he says, comfort, let me read this verse here. If we are confident, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Mean that the counsel or the help or the encouragement or the consolation and all those things only will help us if we endure the same things. Mean that if you have a life that you're trying to avoid suffering, avoid difficulty, you're not going to experience the richness of God's near calling. You structure your life in such a way that I'm not going to talk to people because people talk back to you. If I share Jesus, they might say this. You're not going to experience it. If you always look for the path of least resistance, I'm just going to come in, go sit in my seat, I'm going to hear what Brother Kevin say, I'll clap here, or I'll say amen, and then I'm gone. I'm not going to engage in people's lives because it's going to be messy. I'm not going to share Jesus because people get upset. If they say something about this, politics is off limits for me. I don't get into politics. I don't get into religion. Am I right? If you don't get into those things, when the Lord prompts you, you're not going to experience him calling you to side, give you counsel, to give you words to speak that they can't contradict. They'll say to me, gender is fluid. You might be born in a man's body, but if you feel like a woman, hey, that's okay. Live and let live. You're going to say, Or you're going to say, God made them male and female. Everybody in the room turn towards you. In place today, you can't say things like that. Am I right? Just be careful. Make sure you used to write pronouns. In your mind, there's, what do you mean write pronouns? There's only male and female.
Right.
I've had someone who got fired because they didn't use the right pronouns. They just refused to call this guy a she. Pressure, and they put pressure on them. They put pressure on them until they finally had to leave. But if you seek to, I'm just going to go along with it, Kevin. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to rock the boat. If that's what they want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's my job. I guess I get paid. That's how I live. That's what I support my family. Da, 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 da. You're not going to experience the Lord coming to you. Come, let me talk to you. Say this. Do this. Don't do this. Keep quiet here. Say that. Do that. So if you want to be in God's counsel, you want him to call you forth and have an intimate relationship with you and pour out his heart towards you, you got to be willing to suffer like Christ suffered. Amen?
Yes.
If you want to reach this city, you're going to got to be willing to suffer. People are going to misunderstand you. You don't know about me. You don't know about my life. I don't. Why are you judging me? I'm not judging you. But you got to be able to do it, willing to do it. And it's not you out there by yourself. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to just face it. No, God's going to be there with you. Amen?
Yes.
He's going to put the words in your mouth. He's going to stir your spirit up to be able to stand there, and you might collapse afterwards. But I worked at a shop, and the shop owner used to say this word to me. It used to make me mad. I've been working on cars. I was a mechanic for years. And he asked, can you handle that? I said, I can't get this thing off. This thing is messed up, and I'll just be complaining, griping and everything. He said, you need me to come over there? So, no, I said, I'll figure it out. And he turned to me, he says, be a man if it ain't for 15 minutes. Be a man if it's only for 15 minutes. Now, that would make me mad. But I understood what he was saying. Sometimes you have to just do what you have to do, and you call upon the name of the Lord, and God will empower you to do what you have to do. I was the shyest person in school. You never heard anything bad about me because you'd heard nothing about me. I never said anything. Anybody who went to school with me, they said, who's Willie, Will Greenlaw? I don't remember. And they'll say, oh, I remember him, but oh, I never heard of anything about him, good or bad. You know? And you could be like that as a Christian. But let the work of God in you be made manifest. He's given some of you hands. He's given you mouth. He's given you understanding. He's given you wisdom for a reason. You may not do it the way Kevin do it. You may not do it the way I'm doing it or somebody else, but you can do what you do based on what he's done in you, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've witnessed in life. You share those things when the opportunity avails itself and see won't God use you greatly. Finishing up, he says, our hope for you is unshaken or sure or firm. For we know that as you share in our suffering, so also will you share in our comfort. He said, it gives us great hope and great assurance that when I am able to impart to others, he says in this verse here, that just as they share in our suffering, when I see you going through things, I know that you're also going to be comforted by God. You're going to be near called by God. God has taken me through. I shared it with you. Now you're going through it. I don't fall apart. Oh, my, this happened now. Oh, my goodness. No, the word is sure. The thing I told them, that's good. That's good counsel. The God I'm pointing them to, he's going to help them. Amen? Amen. They're going to come through this. And I just pray them through. Rejoice in the Lord. That Lord, I thank you that now they're going through their struggles. They're under the pressure. And now what you put in them is going to be tested and proven. And now their faith is going to be solid. Yes. They're not going to believe simply because I told them, like the Samaritan woman said to the Samaritan said from the village. But they're going to believe because they witnessed it for themselves. Yes. They witnessed for themselves. May I help you? God is asking you today. Your response is, Abba, I need help. That's your response. Whenever you find yourself under pressure, he's asking you. You may not hear his voice, but just know in your heart, he's asking, may I help you? And he wants you to respond, Abba, I need help. I need help. Holding in your heart that if you help me, I'm going to help others. Because heal people, heal people. Hurt people, hurt people. And if you help me, so help me God, I'm going to help somebody else. And that moves God. Well, I thank you for bearing with me for a few moments. To hear these words, and I hope it's something that will stay with you eternally. No matter what happens in your life today, tomorrow, the years to come, you know that you're not without help out there. And you know the reason why you're going through some things that you're going through. And you take advantage of the opportunities to help somebody else who's going through the same thing that you just went through or experienced. And if you already know the Lord, you can walk away with that assurance today. Amen. You can walk away with just another notch in your faith, another level of faith. And you realize that I'm just being trained. This is just all part of a training. This is part of a training. But if you don't know the Lord, you don't have that assurance. And that was a time I didn't have that. I thought it was just by myself because I was by myself. Now, God had a general eye over me. But I didn't have that specific near calling promise and assurance. If you don't have that today, today is a good day to sign up with the Lord. Today is a good day to get in touch with the Blessed One. Amen. Amen. To know that the near callers will be there for you. And we have elders here today that they'll be in the back. That they'll help you. Put you on that pathway. Connect you to the God of the universe. To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you go from this place today, the thoughts that you've heard, what you remember. You may not remember the Greek words, but I hope you remember the thought. And share it with somebody today. You see them suffering, falling apart, wondering what's the next thing. No, you shake them. Hey, no, listen. We have a God that can help. This is how he helped me. This is how I can help you. Amen. Well, thank you for your time.